right. Welcome, confidants, my sweet, smart, international confidants. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And I am so excited to bring in this week's guest. You might have seen her on TikTok. She is a 24-year-old counseling psychologist from Delhi, India. That's right, baby. We're going even more international. We're spreading all the way to India, who's found her footing as a creator on TikTok. She has a BA of psychology honors. She went to the University of Bath for her MSc of applied clinical psychology and an MA in clinical psychology. I'm so excited to welcome Devisha. Welcome to the podcast. I almost got it right. I was very close.
This time it sounds good.
Can you pronounce your name the proper way?
Wow, I'm nervous now to pronounce my own name. It's Devisha.
Devisha. Okay. I said before we started recording, I'm like, the Southern person in me just always wants to add another little accent line to it. But I left Florida a long time ago, so there's no fucking excuse. Thank you so much for joining. I'm actually a really big fan of your content. I've seen you all over the internet, and I think what you're doing, A, is so badass because you are 24 and you're already so lettered in your expertise, and that you're also creating content. Some people might know you from your TikTok name or your YouTube or Instagram name, which is The Awkward Goat 3. Can you tell me where that came from?
I'm really awkward. You might notice on the podcast. So that's why awkward. And my dogs used to look like goats because they had long ears. And 3 because 1 and 2 were taken.
So awkward goat 1 and 2. Are you friends with them? Do we even know who they are? Should we like... No. I love it. And so tell me if this is right. There was a ban on TikTok on the app in June of 2020, and that's kind of what forced you to switch over to doing more Instagram stuff. Is it still banned in India?
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, it's really sad, but we have to live with it.
Is there, like, an explanation as to why?
I think it's because of some tension with China. Like, some stuff happened, and, like, it's all political, so...
Yeah. Well, this is not a political podcast, thank God. So we're just, but I remember seeing a bunch of your stuff on TikTok, and I thought what was really interesting about what you do is like, you kind of own the name, like Awkward Goat. Like, I'm not afraid to share that, like, what you do and what I, being you, in psychology do is like very relatable and very human. And what made you want to start creating content, even though you have all these degrees and can very easily go off and, you know, work in the professional corporate world of mental health?
So I just started in the lockdown for fun. Like, I'm a really shy and awkward person, and I think I just did that to get out of my shell. And I started, like, sending my friends my videos just for fun. And then, like, since I got a little confident, I was like, let me just post it on TikTok, because not many people that I knew were there on TikTok. So it was like easy for me to not get judged by people that I know. And then I started getting followers. So I was like, okay, I'm not so bad at it. And yeah.
Not so bad is right. And I mean, this podcast is called Confidently Insecure. So, like, you're welcome to be as awkward as you'd like here. I think a lot of our followers can relate to that. But your job is so based, you know, in the mental health field. What called you to that frame of work?
Okay. So I would just watch TikToks, and I would think of psychology and mental health and just, like, culture, all of this. And I would connect it to the trends. So I was like, okay, like, it's an automatic thing for me to just think of things while watching, like, these TikToks, which are fun. So I was like, let me just put it into that. And so that people find it relatable and it's not too preachy and boring. You know, like, nobody wants to be told they're thinking in the wrong way.
Right.
But if it's a trend, then, yeah, it'll just go into their head. They won't even realize it.
Yeah, it's a little more accessible.
Yeah.
And then, so had you already gone to school for psychology before you started making your content?
So I had already finished my first master's. So I was already, like, according to the law in India, I was already a psychologist, but I hadn't, like, worked under a psychologist. I was completing my second master's when I started making the videos, and my plan was just to get a job after that. But then, so instead of that, I interned under another psychologist, learned how to do therapy, and now I'm doing therapy and content creation.
Wow. Casual, just getting her second master's, also making content, which is a full-time job. Like, what the fuck is my excuse? I've constantly thought about going back to school for doing something maybe in social work or, you know, mental health, since that's kind of like my entire life. But it just, the aspect of going back to school seems like a detriment to my mental health in itself.
I can understand, because I was planning to study more, but now I don't feel like, because I feel like I'm independent now and I don't want to go back to that place of, you know, like, school is not independent, at least in India. Right. Like, outside India it is, but yeah, not in India. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to talk more about that. I kind of mentioned before we started recording is that I'm developing the show about what makes one country or one culture happier than the other, right? Like, I think it's safe to say everyone in the world thinks of Americans as pretty fucked up, like pretty anxious and pretty like driven by pills and alcohol. And like, you know, we have more people going to therapy than ever, which I think is awesome. But like, I think that's kind of the lens of the viewpoint of America. Am I right to say that, or am I being just a little self-critical?
It's a little critical, like, but yeah, you're kind of right. Like, maybe if you ask the average person in India, they would probably agree.
Right. And what I've discovered in my like research is that there are certain countries that just have overall mental health statistics are like trash, especially after the pandemic. It's like, you know, we saw it a lot even before the pandemic in places like Japan. Some places that you hear stats of being like the happiest are like Swedish and Dutch countries. But where does India lie in like the mental health spectrum?
Okay, I think it lies in the place where there is no research, like nobody knows, because there's not enough funding. Nobody really cares much about mental health. Now it's changing, but we don't really know because there's not much research, but I can tell there's a lot of mental health problems here.
And is that why you left to go to Bath to get your degree? Because you were like, there ain't enough for me here to do.
So I went outside India for myself, like my personal self, because I wanted to see what it's like to study abroad. And also, like, I wanted to learn something new that other people wouldn't learn in our country. And I wanted to come back. Like, I never planned to stay there forever. So I just wanted a different perspective on psychology.
That's literally what I'm trying to do with this show, is like, I'm trying to, like, for all the non-industry people, it's basically like you develop an idea with a production company. And then if by 800 miracles happen in a line and the stars are just perfectly correct, they actually let you go and shoot the show. And my goal with this show is it would be international. And so we'd go and travel to these places. But then at the core of like our format is I would love like a mental health advocate from each of the countries to kind of have this round table to talk about like how growing up in our environment affects us differently. And like, hey, maybe you'll be the one from India. I don't know. That would be amazing. Really cool. Yeah. I'll definitely put your name down on our deck. But like for me, and this might be a very idealistic white woman way of thinking of India. Like, I imagine it's like your religion plays a big aspect of it. Like, there's a cultural aspect of becoming more informed of the mind and body connection through just like religious practice. Like, is that true, or am I just being like offensively stereotypical?
This is a stereotype, but it is true, like, for the general population. But the thing is that people who seek therapy in India for now are really rich and privileged, and they don't really belong to the average Indian setup. So, like, my clients are not usually very religious, and what you're talking about wouldn't apply. Like, they would actually be like the white people. It'll be kind of similar. But it would apply to, like, the average Indian who doesn't seek therapy and does not know much about mental health.
I don't know what the stat of, like, Americans who do therapy is, but I would guess it's still less people do therapy than people who do therapy. Would you say that's similar in India?
Oh yeah, like no, like barely anyone goes to therapy, and it's just coming up. Like people are just getting to know. And when I say people, I mean just the rich people, not like the average Indian.
Yeah, and where do you think that's coming from? Like, I know for us, it's more like a revolution of the youth being like, hey, your parents are fucked up, you guys are fucked up, and like we don't want to end up fucked up, and like we should talk about our feelings. Like that's where I feel like it's being driven from here. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think it's the same. Like people are realizing that a lot of our parenting practices are quite wrong, to say it politely. So that's how I think they're breaking cycles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're kind of being the one, of course, we're the ones that are like, all right, I guess we'll break your intergenerational trauma for for you guys.
We do all the work.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder too, like when I, and again, I might be painfully white girling myself right now, but this is the podcast where we do these things. When I think of like India culturally, I think of like, again, maybe like ritualistic practice too, like mindfulness or meditation being taught earlier in life. Like we never got that ever growing up. That was something that's very new and like very stolen. Don't get me wrong. Like that's some shit we stole and like threw a green juice price on and was like, come learn the way of the East. And like, you know, I myself use a lot of Ayurvedic practices in my chronic pain rituals, and I find it to be really helpful. And I'm kind of like, God, do I just need to go like eat, pray, love away to India for a while, and that will solve all my problems? Or is that just, again, like kind of tunnel vision of like wellness culture there?
Yeah. I mean, we're not really taught meditation per se. It's more of a religious take on it. I mean, we're told to, sing songs related to God, so that is kind of like mindfulness, because we have to like concentrate on those words, and right. It's like grounding. It's kind of like a grounding technique if you think about it.
Totally.
But we're not told that it's a mental health thing, like it's just because of God and like religion. So in fact, when you're talking about it now, I realize that it's actually mindfulness. But like if you ask me generally, like, oh, is there any mindfulness or like meditation in your day-to-day cultural thing, like no, it's not.
Wow. Yeah. Because like I think we see people travel to the East and like bring back what they've learned, right? And a lot of it is like based in yoga. Like, is yoga as big as the white women who come back from India say it is?
Oh yeah, like it is quite big here. I mean, we used to get forced in school to do yoga. I used to hate it.
No,
now I don't
way.
Mind it. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay. So I got forced to do yoga in school in college for an acting class. And I was like, this is stupid. What does this have to do with acting? But they're like, you have to get more in touch with your body. But like, how early are you guys learning yoga?
Like, as soon as we start school, like in the morning assembly, at least in my school, we had to do yoga and I absolutely hated it.
What did you hate about it?
I don't know. I felt like they're forcing me to move my body in a way that I don't want to. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was like a rebellion against my own culture or something like that. I don't know what it was, but I really didn't like it.
Wow. No, that's so funny.
It doesn't make sense why I didn't like it if I think about it now.
Well, that's childhood entirely, right? It's like, why did I do that? Ugh, it's embarrassing to look back. And do you do yoga now?
No, but like I tried to do it, but I feel like it's just not my thing. Like it's too peaceful for me. Like it's a little boring.
What do you find are like the modalities you turn to for mental health self-care?
So like I like to work out, but like those 15-minute workouts you get on YouTube, like Chloe Ting, that kind
of
stuff.
Yes, love that.
Yeah.
And is that something you found changed during the pandemic? Like, was there a bigger focus on health and wellness for yourself?
For me. Yeah. So like I had never worked out or cared about working out ever in my entire life. But I started working out in the pandemic because I had time and I lost like 10 kilos.
I don't know what kilos are. We use pounds like idiots over here. We're the only ones that don't use kilos, I
Oh,
think.
okay. How do I? It was a
Let's
lot of
see.
weight.
Yeah, got it, got it. And did you find that, like, where you are in Delhi, what was there to walk me through, like, how the pandemic sort of affected your clientele or people that were actively, talking in therapy about the pandemic?
I only started working in the pandemic, so I don't know like what the difference would be from before and after. But my clients didn't really have issues related directly to the pandemic. It was more about like having to stay with their parents now because they had to come back home, and that was annoying for them, like difficult to deal with. So that is one thing that was very common in all of my clients.
And do you find that, like, 'cause you've got such a spread of, like, where you got your degrees from, what type of, like, psychology do you practice or use with your clients?
So I have like an eclectic approach. I don't just follow one, but
Love that.
it's kind of like CBT based, but then like I change it according to the client because it depends. Like for example, like if a client is someone who believes in God and wants, you know, CBT wouldn't really work directly for them. I would have to include like some practices that would come from our culture and like things that would resonate with them more because CBT is kind of like a white people thing.
Yes,
And like
it
we're also taught the white version of it, so you know,
is.
like, and also like the concept of making boundaries, like that's also a white people thing. We can't really do that in our culture. It's kind of impossible if you live with your parents and they control every aspect of your life. So like I have to adapt it according to the person.
Wow, I never considered that to be like, it really is such a, like, a backhanded luxury, because, like, for me, boundaries are very hard to create because I'm a people pleaser and I want to, like,
Oh,
say yes
that's
to
very
everything.
common.
Yeah, right? It's like, okay, and I'm conflict averse. I don't do, I cry if someone yells at me. Like, I instantly, like, as soon as I get angry, I cry. It's been my problem I've had my whole life, but
Okay.
I never considered, like, the religious aspect, because religion is so tied into the culture, from what I understand in India, not the way America is. It's more tied into our politics, I think, than it should be.
Sure, but like, let's not talk about
Yes, again, this is not a political podcast, but I wonder, does what are the limitations that maybe religion or culture places on people? That you see in your city or town that we might not think about. Like, is for us, it's a big thing of, like, God should be able to help you, and it's shameful if you can't get help through God, or you're not trying hard enough, or, like, you're not praying hard enough, or whatever.
It's not like that in our religion. So it's not, I don't, we don't really focus so much on sin and stuff like, I think you do
Yes.
more than the Western thing.
Big time.
So, but then like we have like weird cultural practices that might be sexist, like really sexist or really problematic and controlling. And then we attribute it to God. Like, for example, if you do something, like if I'm wearing, like there's this concept called sanskari here, which means that if you're unsanskari, which is like not sanskari, then you're going against our culture, against our religion, against our dharm. I don't know, dharm is like our principles.
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking
Love
effortlessly
it.
chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right
You
now. They
are.
are so they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band, so I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So our principles are really connected to our religion.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like if I, for example, tell my client to make boundaries and, you know, have some space between themselves and the parents, that's like going against our culture and our values.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I can't really just tell them to do that because their parents will just kick them out then.
Right. Yeah. And that'll cause more problems. Like there's no, it seems like family dynamic is a big part of therapy there.
Really? Yeah. Like most of therapy is about that, at least with my clients.
Yeah. I think so here too. Like something I noticed when I first got into the mental health field is like, 50% of the time, the therapist always wanted to go back to talking about my childhood upbringing.
My sweet, sweet confidants, I just had to take a quick second, pause on the pod, one real quick second, just to talk about my most favorite thing, which is therapy, with my most favorite company, which is BetterHelp. Y'all know I am constantly preaching about BetterHelp, which is an online therapy app website you can download right now and get matched with a licensed professional counselor in under 24 hours because I truly, truly believe in it. I use it every single week. Shout out to my therapist, Kim. And I also do couples therapy from it. It has made my life so much more manageable during this pandemic. And I want all of my confidants to be able to have that accessibility and affordability, which is why I love BetterHelp, because it is more affordable than traditional counseling and on other online competitors. And they deal with all sorts of things like anger issues, LGBT family life, sexuality, relationships, sleeping, trauma, you name it. BetterHelp is there for you. And I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/CI. You're going to join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health when you go to betterhelp.com/CI.
And there comes a point where at some point I have to stop blaming my parents or, you know, for everything. Yeah. And it's more like action focused. Like, okay, what can I do as a person to not perpetuate that conditioning or whatever and move past? Like, what can I do actively now today to be different? But it seems like when there's family still involved, like you're not necessarily like free from your legacy, like your culture, your family. That seems to be so much a part of the identity. And I wonder like how you, I assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're not necessarily telling people to like revolutionize and leave their family and throw everything behind and like start a new life.
It's not possible. Like we don't do that. Like till we die, like we take care of our parents and we stay with them. So like we never leave our family mostly. Like,
right. We do. We're truly like, bye.
Yeah, I know.
Good
you
luck.
You guys just leave like in college. We don't do that. We come back home.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And there's like, we can't really live away from our parents till we get married. And when we get married, we have to stay with them. So the concept of live-in relationships is not, it is a thing, but like only like with some people. It's not the majority.
And I have to assume like you being young and you being a woman in this field, like how is that different from maybe say like an older male psychologist in your field?
That's not a thing. We don't have male psychologists in
India.
Not that much. So, like, we do, but then the thing is that our education system is such that they think that this field is like a
feminine woman's job,
thing.
Yeah.
So, like, psychology is only offered in all girls' colleges mostly, and, like, there's very few colleges for, like, co-education, like, boys and girls.
Yeah.
So, guys end up not going, and, like, in my class, I was in a co-ed college, which means, like, boys and girls both, and I had, like, 3 guys out of 63 people in the class. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And even then they end up doing something else. They don't really, it's very rare to see. I think right. Now it will change.
Yeah.
But it's quite rare.
What are like your hopes? You know, you're 24, you got a lot of life ahead of you. What are your hopes to like see this how to see this profession change where you live?
So I really want there to be like stricter laws, that the laws are kind of there, but like nobody cares about them. We have like random people who are not qualified, just doing therapy and calling it therapy. And no one cares. Like we can't hold them accountable.
Wow.
And like nobody respects us. Mm. Even the people in the field don't respect each other. There's no regulation. There's no certification. So like after wow. I do my master's, I become a psychologist, but like, I don't really have any experience, so I had to actively go and get the experience.
Right.
So that means that there's people out there without experience calling themselves therapists and just doing therapy right. out of thin air.
Nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And like, what do we need to do to make that change?
So I actually made a video about, like, I went on a rant about this. There's a lot of things we need to do. First of all, we need to have proper laws set in place. And, like, they only recognize clinical psychologists, which are, like, after you do this one particular degree. But then there's people calling themselves clinical psychologists even without that degree.
Wow.
So that law needs to be stronger. And yeah. We need psychology to be offered in more institutions. Like, right. very few places offer it. That also mostly girls.
Yeah. So, that to me is, I'm like still trying to wrap my head around like this being, I understand of course why it's seen as a feminine profession. You're talking about your feelings. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh my God.
It's bullshit, but I get it. You know, I don't like it, but I get it. But to me in America, it's a highly respected job, you know, therapist, social worker, you know, licensed counselor. That
you
is
have a lot of titles.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
You don't have that.
And then like the psychology and psychologists or psychiatrists, excuse me, they can make so much money. Like I don't know a psychologist and psychiatrist in Los Angeles who is not fucking loaded and living in like a very nice house. And like, do you ever want to say like, fuck this place, I'm gonna go like become a billionaire in America doing this job, because we need more yeah. of that.
I really wanted to do that like in the beginning, but like I don't know, I felt like coming back. Like I just knew that I don't belong there. I don't know, it's just me. I wanted to be with my parents again, the culture yeah. family thing.
Well, that's what fascinates me so, is like your upbringing and the environment taught you these certain values and morals, and it's like probably healthy to a degree that we don't have, right? Like we really just can abandon our families and like choose our own people, which is healthy. Yeah, I think that's great too. But I think also we don't really like respect our elders here. That's not like a thing. And like, I don't have grandparents, so I'm just kind of like, I don't
but
know.
But then at the same time, like in our culture, it's the other extreme. And like, we have to respect all elders. Like, I don't agree. Personally, I don't agree with that. Like, you should respect people who respect you. It doesn't matter what their age is. So, but I feel like that's a little too progressive, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Right now.
Sure. So like, let's say someone right now in like the city of Delhi or New Delhi, like they feel depressed, and it's obviously like clinical depression, or maybe they're having like panic attacks, or maybe even something a little bit more hard to manage, like bipolar or psychosis. What does that look like for the average person? Like in terms of how to get treatment or help, or
they will mostly, unless and until it's like so extreme that they do something like very extreme, everybody will just see it as a normal thing and like think that they are just angry. Like mania, oh, that's not a thing. Nobody knows what mania is. I mean, like they'll just be like, oh, this is normal. He's an angry man. that kind of thing. And they won't really ever get help. And if they do, they might end up going to some kind of religious person who will, like, there's a lot of weird practices in certain parts of our country where, like, they'll take a broom and hit the person and the, and, like, superstitious stuff. Yeah. Like, this is quite common. Not in the urban section, but, like, in the rural areas, from what I've heard. And, like, when I worked with, in a hospital, I heard a lot about these things. So,
We have a form of that, like exorcism, you know?
Yeah, and it's the same thing.
Religious, like throwing the spiritual waters on people. And it's like, or you get locked in like an asylum and, you know, your rights are kind of taken from you. You don't, or you don't know your rights.
Do you still have asylums then?
I guess the word is an asylum. It's like, what's the word? What's the word for like an asylum? I'm asking my boyfriend. I'm like, what's the word we, it's not asylum necessarily, but it's like an inpatient residential mental health facility. They make it sound fancy, but like you can find like horrific. Yeah, it's horrific. Like there were so many news kids, unless you're in like a big city with a lot of money where you can afford a really nice one. Like these middle of nowhere places, I've like seen some of them, and the guy who was like the receptionist at the front told me like more of the employees need to be locked up here than the patients themselves. And I'm like, why would you tell me that? Like, don't tell me that. Figure that shit out, you guys. What the fuck? Like, I think what I'm gathering is like every country has their thing, right? Like, it's, there's no one who's doing it way better. It just seems like we're further along culturally in the acceptance of getting help, right?
Yeah, like not with the disorders and clinical part of it, maybe. I think that might be similar for both of our cultures.
Yes.
But like in general, getting help, maybe I think it's more common there rather than here.
Now, what about like medication treatment in India? I know I keep asking you about India, which is like, how the fuck are you supposed to give me like a general answer for all of the country? But Delhi, let's say, like, what would you see, you know, in terms of like medication management? Is that even like a thing?
Again, if you're rich and aware, then even in the rich, not all the rich people would go and get help. Also, the psychiatrists in India, from my personal experience of hearing about my client stories, they're quite judgmental themselves. Like, a lot of my clients have had bad experiences with psychiatrists. And, like, I have been looking for one to get on my team. And even I have not been able to find one because all of them are really judgmental or they'll say some really weird stuff to them and, you know, just invalidate their experiences. So even to get that help, even if you want to, it's quite difficult. Like, unless and until you know a really good one, even the good ones can be bad. So
It's already hard enough to find a psychiatrist, and then I have to imagine like finding one that's good for you. It's a process. I tell people that all the time. I'm like, medication management is a fucking process that can take years, you know, finding the right doctor that you trust. And you only learn that by having doctors you don't trust and trying medications you don't like. But back to you, like what, as you've moved off of TikTok and you're doing more Instagram and even YouTube stuff, like what do you want to continue to do to further the messaging that you already so, you know, eloquently do? Like what do you hope for yourself in your own career? Sounds like you're building a team, more people.
I mean, that's just my personal thing. Like, because I want to not take too many sessions and I'd rather like spread more awareness because I feel like I can get people on my team and I can teach them how to do it well and not be judgmental. But, and I feel like that takes up a lot of my time, like taking sessions. So personally, I would rather work on the content creation part of it because I get more happiness out of that. I have realized that very recently. So I don't really like to talk about like anxiety and depression per se. I like to talk about the problems in our culture that nobody talks about. So because that is directly connected to our mental health and nobody realizes that. So like I like to talk about that in a fun and like relatable way. So of course nobody feels attacked. People do in the end, but still.
But that seems like a new role we've developed like in the mental health space, right? It's like if you can't or don't want to be or don't have access to get those degrees where, you know, I don't know that I would ever want to like have sessions with people if I were a psychologist anyway either. But there's like this new field of just mental health advocacy. And then to have the lettered degrees that you do just gives you more, you know,
credibility,
respect. To be able to say like, I know what I'm talking about. And this is kind of, it really is a full-time job. I mean, when you were talking about going to get your second, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how you're doing that. But like,
it only became like a full-time job, like recently, because only now I've taken it up as a career again. Like it's not a very common thing in India. Content creation. It's become now slowly because of the pandemic and Instagram reels.
Yeah.
But again, it's an obscure, both of my careers are obscure. Like people don't really, nobody encourages people to become psychologists or content creators.
Then what keeps you doing it? Like, what's the drive? What's the motivation?
I don't know. I'm just like a creative person. So for that, like the content creation part makes me feel happy. And also like, I don't know. I've always been really intensely passionate about like mental health awareness, because in my family, there have been a lot of people who needed help and they took help and they got better. So I've seen it happen in my childhood. So I know that it does make a difference. It's not all like mumbo jumbo, like people might believe. It's not, it's just, it's not nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. I think you're amazing. I hope, I would love to make this show. I would love to have you on it. I'm just manifesting that. I'm just putting that shit out there in the world, because I think what you're doing is so bold and brave and like cool and important. And like, you're paving your own way to say like, I'm not abandoning people, you know, either. Yeah. Like you could easily just get up and leave and fucking do this in a city that respects it more, or like, you know,
well,
takes
I get
the
paid
help.
More.
Yeah, you get paid more, but like,
that's also a thing. Like you don't really get much money in India being a psychologist. If you work in a hospital, it's really less, like ridiculously less.
Wow. And I wonder, are those jobs like, are there a lot of jobs like that, or is it kind of hard to get a job in that field, or are they like needing more, or
they need more, but they don't have positions because they don't care enough. Like we need a lot of psychologists in India, but they don't pay, and they don't put out job positions. So we are
struggling. Well, it makes perfect sense how you've ended up doing what you do. Cause it's like, well, look at my options you guys gave me.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my own thing.
Exactly. I think that's another reason why I want to, like, why I'm doing all of this. Because I don't want to just be working in a hospital, unhappy with my job, not making any difference to the society or anything, or earning any money. Like, money is also really important to me.
Right.
So, I'm not going to, like, be like, no, I'm only doing this for the betterment of the society.
Right.
It's both the things for me.
Absolutely. And we love that honesty. Like, let's be real. I love that.
Yeah. I need to, like, eat.
There is that one basic like human need that I think you gotta like maintain in order to be a good mental health advocate. So I think you're doing a great job. Well, you're inspiring the hell out of people. I know that for sure, not only in your own country, but for sure you're inspiring me as well. Can you tell us where people can follow you and keep up with everything that you're doing?
You can follow me on Instagram at awkwardgoat3 and the same handle on YouTube. I'm trying to be a little more active on YouTube.
Amazing. And I lost your video for a second, but it says video is still being recorded. So
yours was also like gone in the middle.
Oh, there we go. we're so zen. We're just going through the process. We're trusting.
Yeah, I was like, that it'll happen.
We're good. We made a podcast. We did a whole episode. Well, thank you, Devi, just so much for doing this. I really appreciate your insight. I hope we keep in touch. And if you ever find yourself out in LA, hit me up.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Confidants, thanks so much for listening this week. If you would like to rate this 5 stars on iTunes, we always appreciate it. If you're not going to rate it 5 stars, please don't rate it at all, because I am sensitive. Speaking of sensitive, I know there is a sale going on the merch on Thought Catalog all the way up until November 29th. And this episode comes out on the 29th. So you got one more day to use all those promo codes, baby. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.